if we are serious with what we want to achieve, let's do with little. That's actually a good move. I'm absolutely happy that that's the case. Yeah. Enjoy the whole, the independence in your region. Yeah. So there's no more SMT. Wherever you find yourself, that's where you celebrate your independence. Okay? Organize your own independence in the way that is very meaningful to your region. And there could be many things that a region can actually do, involve now, you know, people in the communities and constituencies in your independence celebrations. I'm giving you an idea already for nothing, you know? Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, that's it. And good morning. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Big Mike Oshoveli. And this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business, in terms of economic, in terms of politics as well. So every weekday, from Monday to Friday, we cut through the noise to make sense of to make sense of the big stories, what is trending, and the number that are actually making the headlines. So, and we keep it clear. We try to keep it clear here, being neutral. And what we do is asking questions. We ask questions, asking questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, so what you are saying, and spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation as well. So this is your platform. This is your space to unpack with me the headlines and get to the heart of these stories that are making front pages. All right. So, and as usual, we start looking at significant events that are happening in Africa. So we go into our history book, African history book, and see what happened on this day in Africa. So this is on this day in Africa. And good morning, my fellow Africans, wherever you find yourself, you know, from Cape Town to Cairo, and you know, and every part of this continent. Welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today we're just taking one trip actually back into time, to March 9th in 1966. We don't have much significant event, but this one, it's Ghana. Ghana, the first country in sub-Saharan Africa to gain independence. So it's actually, this time is going through a huge change. Just a few weeks earlier, we're talking about the 9th of March 1966. So just a few weeks earlier, the military had kicked out Kwame Nkrumah, the man who had led Ghana to freedom from British rule, you know. And on this very day, March the 9th, a new group called the National Liberation Council officially took charge of the government. Now, why do we remember this day? So, well, Nkrumah wasn't just any leader. So he was a powerful voice of powerful voice for Pan-Africanism. So the idea that all African nations should unite and support each other. So he dreamed of a strong, united Africa. But the coup changed all that. You know, the coup changed all that. His vision lost a lot of its momentum, and Ghana politics headed in a completely different direction. So on March the 9th, 1966, Ghana turned a new page, one that would shape the country for years to come. So yeah, that's the only page we look at in today's on this day in Africa. Tune in tomorrow again for another moment in African history. All right. So, and if you're just joining us, very good morning to you. It's a Monday morning. I hope you are fired up, ready to contribute to the well-being and the growth, to the economic growth of this country. That's all what we need to do, you know. So I hope you are really fired up and energetic enough, because you rested over the weekend, to be able to have energy, you know, at the beginning of the week. So, yeah. So, but let's look at what is our thought for the day today, the 9th of March, a Monday morning. I mean, here's a quick thought for the day. There's an African proverb that goes, if you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go together, if you want to go far, then go together. So today, remember that rushing solo, win a small battle. You may win some battle, small battle, but lasting change and a really progress comes when we pull together. So, we're going to come after this.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
That's right. Make sure that you see yourself in that beautiful, beautiful, incredible university, UNAM. All right. So now we were just ending the the thought of the day before UNAM interrupted me. So, yeah, here's the thought for the day that I was saying. There is an African proverb which say, if you want to go fast, go alone, and if you want to go far, go together. So now today I want you to remember that when you're rushing solo, you will definitely win some battles. You will win some small battles, but lasting change and real progress comes when we pull together. So now today, share some load, you know, invite someone in and keep moving forward as a team. So that's our thought for the day. So good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to unpacking the day. What do we have on our menu today? What can you expect? What are we going to unpack today? So now, there is this old mutual report, which reveals that, it's very interesting, which reveals that the crippling cycle of financial dependency, where we have about 75% of employed Namibians support adult dependents, yeah? Not their dependents in terms of small children, where we have about 75% of employed Namibian support adult dependents. So it's because the primary driver of that, that is actually trapping, okay? It's trapping working individuals in poverty and preventing a wealth accumulation. So we're going to look at this report and go deep a little bit into it and see what is that trapping working individuals in poverty and preventing them from wealth accumulations. So it's a very interesting report. You don't want to miss that. So, and also, we will make time to see if we can look at one of the stories that also making headline today in today's edition of The Villager. So a major reform to address the underspending and boost infrastructure development The Namibian government has prohibited, so it has prohibited offices, ministries, agents, the OMAS, from transferring fund from capital project to operational operational expenditure. So we're going to follow that stories and see where does it getting us. Where does that story get us? So it's very interesting as well. And we will unpack that. So make sure that you do it with me. And of course, you are allowed to come through with your contribution, with your probe, interrogation, you know, reaction. Your participation is also part of the show. So you are most welcome to do that. Okay. So after this, we're getting into our story. Our first item on there in the show. Well, stay tuned.
Omutiha would take a kaguna, e matina omjo. Chicago Shafas and Anana, longishifa, ya, as you became Moshiwana, e moyao, or taing on what is a mini. Anagashifa, yanamibia, ombitom banawa, or chica. Seithanina, omaguro, nidanitoma, yue, yongishifa, yokupitramo, ikelefem, media house. Gwe 20 pime meha, uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi paregi uimopo yomo programa letu. Moambo, dengera selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Igele FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Welcome back. Why 75% of employed Namibians, are stuck supporting adult dependents? Well, some economists say that's a poverty trap. Now, good morning, Namibia. Welcome to Unpacking the Day, where we go beyond the headlines and get to the real story. Now, today we are talking about you. We're really talking about you. You go to work every day. You bring home a salary. And yet, at the end of that month, you know, there's nothing left. No saving, no investment, no cushion for tomorrow. Well, does that from, you know, I hope that sounds familiar for many of us. You know, does that sound familiar? Okay? Or you are one of those who, when you said, I'm very broke. There are a couple of thousands still you have on your account. Now, well, 2025 Financial Monitor, a report from the Old Mutual Namibia, explain why. We're going to look at that. Explain why. And the answers, of that question may surprise you. Or maybe not. Maybe not at all. It might not surprise you at all. All right? So, yeah, we're going to look at that. So, okay. As I said, you are employed. Okay? You earn a salary, but before even think of yourself, before you even think of yourself, you know, you already stress. Before you come to the end, what is the end of the month? Before you come to the 30th, or you get on the 28th, or you get on the 25th, or you get on the 20th, just before you even come to the end of that month, you already stress. Sir? Before you even think of yourself, before rent, before grocery, before, you know, your transport, there is already a queue of people waiting for their share. There is already, my friend, there are already people, you know, waiting for their share. This is what the report, this is what this report is talking about. No, you have an unemployed sibling. You have your elderly parents, you know, waiting for their share. You know, you have aunts and, you know, and uncles that are waiting for their share. You have a cousin who finished school and has nowhere to go, waiting for her share or his share. And you have your own children. You have now your own children waiting for their share. So before even that money comes in, there are already people on the queue waiting for their share. Now, and that is the reality for, now, the report, when you look at the report, that is the reality for 3 out of every 4 employed Namibian. 3 out of every 4 employed Namibians. The old Mutual Financial Service Monitor 2025 revealed that 75% of working Namibian financially support adult dependents. Eh? We support adult dependents, and that's a fact. So, and that's on top of their own children. Eh? It's on top of their own children. When you do the maths, that's close to 424,000 working people carrying this burden. 442,000. Well, I said I'm not good at math, but I can do calculate. So 424,000 working people carrying this burden. Now, and here's the thing. Now, these people now, that this dependent, this adult dependent, you know, they are not lazy people, okay? It's not because these people are lazy. Okay? These are not irresponsible people. Okay? These are people trapped by a system that was never designed actually to, that was not designed for them to win. A system that was not designed for them to win. And I think you understand what I'm trying to say. I will explain. I will give you, I make sure I even went through some, you know, information that I will share with you that will definitely, you know, make you think twice. All right, walk with me, okay? Unpack this with me. Stay with me, all right? So, now, let's unpack it a bit deeper. Let's get into a little bit deeper. Now, 6 in 10 working Namibian are what the researcher call the sandwich generation. I love the word, okay? So, 6 in 10 working Namibians, you are one of those, the researcher called you a sandwich generation. You are a sandwich generation. A sandwich generation. Think of a sandwich, okay? And you are the filling. You know that thing's in the middle. You know, when you have a burger, you know, and you are that filling, okay? You are pressed from above by aging and unemployed parents. You're pressed from below by dependent children, your own children, or people, some might not be your own children, from extended family. So you are in the middle. So you are being squeezed. You are the feeling, you know? Now, we talk about 77% of these workers, 77% of these workers are also, you know, are also supporting children who depend on them financially. So you have workers who are concurrently raising children and also supporting grown adults. You know? And I mentioned some of them. You might be supporting others that I haven't mentioned. So, and that leaves little, sometimes nothing actually. So where you have these financial advisors telling you, nah, you must be do saving, do whatever. You actually, with all that, you absolutely left with nothing. Eh? With nothing. If something is left, it's just a little. Eh? So there's nothing for saving, nothing for retirement, you know, or building any kind of a future. So, and that's why they talk about poverty trap. Maybe let me ask you this. Or let ask yourself honestly, okay? When last did you put money away for retirement? No, retirement could be something bigger even. So when last did you invest in anything beyond surviving the month? Just beyond surviving, just, you know, surviving the month. When was the last time you put something away? Well, yeah, your answer is just as good as mine, my dear. It's just as good as mine. All right? So, and we have numbers that are telling the real story here. Okay? The numbers we have here are really, really painful to look at. Okay? These are painful stories. These are painful numbers to look at. So, according to the Namibia Statistic Agency own labor force report, 34.1% of employed Namibians earn less than 2,000 a month. Okay? 34.1 is such a huge chunk of people. Okay? So they earn less than 2,000 a month. Now, meanwhile, okay, I want you now to put these things together. So, meanwhile, a global cost of living database called Nubio is something that we discussed, I think, probably a month ago. You know, Nubio ranked Namibia third, ranked Namibia third most expensive country in Southern Africa. The most expensive country in Southern Africa. Third most expensive country in Southern Africa. And estimate that a single person need above 11,000 a month just to live comfortably. And this is before rent, okay? Just to live comfortably, this is just before rent. This is before your rent bill. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. Now, you earn 2,000, you need 11,000, and you are still expected to feed extra mouth. You see why people are stressed before even the money comes in? Yeah? It's because you think, how am I going to feed all this mouth before even money comes in? Now, the other thing now, you know, when we're talking about inequality in Namibia, sometimes we don't go into these details enough. Okay? So now, at the other end, you have a 3% of workers earn about 40,000 and more a month. Okay? 3% workers earn about 40,000 or more in a month. Only 3%. Now, the gap between those two worlds is not just wide. You know, in Namibia, we have a Fish River Canyon. When something is so big, what do we say? It is Canyon. It is Kenyan. So, as you can see, 3% only. So, and this actually brings us now to the bigger picture. Okay? To the very bigger picture. Namibia is the second most unequal country in the world. And do you know who is the first? I don't need to tell you that. In the earth, on the planet earth. Let me say planet earth. Maybe other planet, there might be an unequal, you know, distribution of wealth in those planet as well, and they are more than us. I would love to know so that we feel better that we are not the worstest. Okay? Now, this according to the United Nations, our coefficients. So according to our Gini coefficients, the international measure of inequality, we sit among the highest on earth. So that's not something we need to bring. And we can see it. We can see it right here. We can see that in black and white right here. You can see it. So one, a huge group of people is on the other extreme, you know, of 2,000 per month, earning 2,000 per month. And another group towards the other end is on another extreme, which is only about 3%. Earning over 40,000 a month. there is a huge, huge, huge gap between the two groups. Now, the International Monetary Fund confirmed an overall unemployment rate of 36.9% with youth unemployment at a devastating 54.8%. Now, those unemployed people have to be supported by someone, you know. Even that's why we're talking about dependent, adult dependent. These are the ones have to be supported by someone, and that someone is you, a working Namibian. You are the one, eh? And that's a fact. And you know, someone, you know, economists talks about a vicious cycle. Okay, they talked about a vicious cycle that poverty can be passed on through families like a gene. You know, it's not a gene, but it can be passed on like a gene, you know? Now, and you should be really, really, you should be really concerning. This should be really concerning. The economists warned that this is not just a financial problem, okay? Understand this very well. So it's not just a financial problem. It's a generational curse, okay? Those are not my words. Those are words of some economist. So it's a financial curse. All right, I don't bafingwa, bafingwa, you know that tikirwali. So you inherit poverty from parents who had nothing. You work, but you are drained by those who depend on you. Like just what we talk about, you are being drained by who are depending on you. So you accumulate nothing. You're not accumulating any wealth. You accumulate nothing. Your children then inherit that same poverty. And the cycle continues. That was the generational curse that he's talking about. So the United Nations funding published in Namibia's own National Planning Commission demographic dividend study confirms that young Namibians remain economically dependent on their families until the age of 27. Can you imagine? Until the age of 27. In some other countries, 28 or 27, you have your own house already. You have your own house. You have already established yourself. This is almost three decades into their lives. Yeah, before they begin producing more than they consume. And a separate analysis that of the national census revealed that 44.1% of Namibian age between 15 to 34 are not employment. So 44.1% of Namibian age between 15 to 34 are not employment. They are not in school, and they are not in any training program. Do you get that? That is nearly half of our youth, okay? Nearly half of our youth outside every system that could help them. They're neither in employment, they're neither not in school, they are not in school, and they are not in any training. Nearly half of our youth that are outside of every system, of every system that help them. Now, so ask yourself this: who is now? We're talking about 44.1%. Now, ask yourself this: who is feeding that 44%? Who is feeding that 44%? 44%? 44%? 44%? 44%? They employed 56%. The 56 employed are the one that is feeding that. The very people who are already struggling are the one who's feeding that 44%. And academic research on intergenerational poverty in sub-Saharan Africa confirmed this brutal reality. So that poverty reproduces itself across generation in households, especially where saving are impossible. And assets are not built, are never built. So that's why you have our economists also saying this is a poverty trap. Now, here's where I want us to be honest with ourselves now as Namibians. So economists are clear, are very clear. The government must deliberately create meaningful jobs, not temporary public works, not political appointments, but structural, sustainable employment that give young people a dignified path for, to self-sufficiency. That's what should happen. So when the youth becomes economically independent, then the burden on working adults begin to lift. So only then can workers save, now they can be able to save, only then can wealth be built. Only then can you actually broken the cycle. Now, Old Mutual's own research confirmed that only 28% of working Namibians feel confident about their saving or investment decision. I wish I was in those 28%. I'm actually not. I'm not in that 28% of working Namibians who feel confident about their saving and their investment decision. I'm not, actually. And it's quite a small number. No wonder why I'm not in there. Maybe it's you. No, 28%. And more than half report being under financial stress. You see, that is my group. More than half report being under financial stress. That is my group. So the comfort is that, what is comforting is that they are saying that is not individual failure. All right? It's not because I have failed. That is a structural emergency, So that's the comfort thing. But I'm in this half that reported being under financial stress, not in that 28% of working Namibian feeling, confident about their saving and investment decision. Maybe I'll get there. Okay. You and I, maybe one day we get it. Or we are the one who are trapped in this poverty, So, well, I'm joking about it, but it's real, okay? So, what is being done? There are a few things that the government is actually doing, but the question is it enough? So what is the government, what is our government doing about this, So in January 2025, Namibia introduced a historical national, minimum wage of 18 Namibian dollar per hour. That's something. Okay, the International Labour Organization praised this as a step forward, as a step towards, addressing income inequality and protecting workers. As I said, it's a little step forward, a very, very, I wouldn't say significant, but it's a step forward. But $18 per hour translates to roughly $3,000 per month for a standard work week, Still far below the 11,000. You remember what we talked about? You need 11,000 for a comfortable living, that excluding rent. So you need, there's still about, you are still a shortfall of 8,000 or so. Now, the government is also working on its third national employment policy. with support from the United Nations. So, yeah. So the policy aim now to boost decent job creation. Yeah, decent job creation and leverage green and digital, you know, economic opportunity, which with strong focus on youth employment. So let's see how, you know, how that comes out. So, but those are initiatives that one looking at. What are we doing, you know, to mitigate the situation? And then you have the National Youth Development Fund that offers loan to young entrepreneurs aged between 18 to 45. Was changed to 45? Yeah, it was changed to 45. And this is done with a low interest rate. So the borrowing is done with, the loan is actually done at a low interest rate. So these are steps in, one would say, in the right direction, okay? A real step in the right direction. But as I asked at the beginning, you know, so are this intervention enough? Fairly not. Are they reaching the people who need them most? Fairly not. So, yeah. So those are some of the things we could credit the initiative the government is actually taking forth. Yeah. So now, let's have a conversation now. Let's have a conversation. I want you to think about some questions, you know, for us to discuss. So, okay. So my first question really is to, when we look at the whole, what we're looking at, are you part of the, you know, what economists call the sandwich generation? I love that. No, that sandwich generation. How many people depend on your salary? Now, serious, how many people depend on your salary? How is it affecting your financial future? Are you accumulating wealth? Are you saving, you know, for anything actually in the future? Eh? Or kisho ike no kokanya, paife shiripo, tashiyapo ike tashidipo, tashiriwap. You know? Kisho no kokanya. That's our lifestyle. Eh? How is it affecting your financial future? Seriously. So, now, should the government, the other things maybe that you can consider is that, should the government enforce stronger laws around adult financial dependency, like the way South Africa does, where adult children, you know, have a legal responsibility to support destitute parents? Maybe we should look at that as well. And also, I want us to think about our own culture. Is it culture or economy that is driving this dependency? Now, think. Is it culture or is it economy that is driving this dependency? Are we enabling the cycle by never saying no to family? I know this is part of our family extension. You support your extended family. Now, what I'm asking, are we enabling this cycle by never saying no to family? Or do we simply have no choice, really? Well, call in now. Let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let us hear your story. What is your story? You know, what is your story? 08333-66091. 08333-66091. This is Unpacking the Day. So please do come through. I want to hear your stories. And, well, answer some of those questions. Reflect on some of those questions. 08333-66091.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shifareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengera selma, onarahe tatu imu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
That's right. This is the eye in the skies. We are looking out the things that affect your life. And we have this report from the Old Mutual Namibia that's looking at, you know, working Namibians who are actually under stress of supporting, you know, adult dependency. All right. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine. Yourself?
I'm good.
Tell me your story, man. What is your story?
I'm one of the people who are milking you. It's the point.
Yeah. You're not even the one who is being squeezed. You are the one who is milking, you know?
Yeah, we are the one who are milking you. People are employed. Actually, we understand the situation in which you are finding yourself.
Yeah.
Even though it's not such a totally 100% dependent on you people who are employed,
Yeah.
If they are there, maybe there are only a few people who are 100% on you people who are employed.
Hmm.
But in actual sense, if I ask you, do you maintain the whole household of your auntie at the village? No.
Not really. Not fully.
The whole household of your brother at the village? No. Maybe in a while or maybe in a month, just only send maybe $200. Or maybe $300 if it's so much. But this is not a monthly... It's not a monthly.
Yeah, but there are those in those cases. Yeah, but maybe not the numbers it reflected that everyone does that. Yeah, but yes. Yeah, there are those who are at the end of the extreme. Yeah.
So it's not that maybe you are maintaining those aunties of yours that in such a way that every month you expect that I've got cooking oil, I've got relish, I've got whatever. No.
Yeah, no, not in that manner. Yeah.
It's just a matter of maybe subsidize them, not to help them. Just meet them halfway, maybe $200.
Yeah.
Or maybe a bag of maize meal only.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then coming to now, we should.
But then we're looking at also then the majority. Yeah, we're talking about the 31% at the end of the month. Actually, in the group of get their salary is 2,000, but the majority actually are within the 5,000 month. I mean, 1,000 salary a month. Majority of Namibian. Yeah.
Yeah. Majority are above $2,000 up.
Yes,
above $2,000 up. Yeah, that doesn't mean that maybe even us here at the village who are not working, maybe we are not, we don't have any source of income.
Yeah.
No, we do.
Mm.
We are in informal sectors, which are not regarded as employment by the government.
Which is actually a good point because it's also miscue the statistics.
Yes.
Yeah, which is a very good important. It's an important point because it miscue the statistics. You know.
Yes, because if you have to take it in the way how you reported it.
Yeah.
That these unemployed parents of ours, the unemployed youth of young brothers of ours.
Mm.
That depend wholly on to our salary for them for us to maintain them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you couldn't be surviving yourself there in Windhoek where you are, or maybe in Ondango where you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a matter of subsidizing us also. Maybe like for example, maybe I'm just like I did a bag of maize meal. Maybe just lend me $200. Okay, that's $200. But then that does not mean that maybe we entirely depend on you people for our survival.
Yeah.
You know, we have some means of surviving here at the village.
Mm.
Even though we need some support also from you people on that side.
Yeah.
And again, now who is going to change this? But I think if you go in any country, even those developed world like America, or maybe you go to Europe or whatever country. Like in Europe, I one day interviewed one of the Europeans there. How do they live?
Yeah.
So they have also an employment rate. Also, they say that we do have.
Of course.
That's nothing in common.
Yeah.
But then they've got what you call the safety net.
Yeah.
Social safety net in their countries where the unemployed people.
Yeah.
They have been given some grants which can maintain them for the rest of the month.
Mm.
It's part of the social responsibility of their government
to
maintain those ones who are not in formal sectors.
Yeah. And there are also social organizations that actually provide meals on a daily basis.
You know? Yes.
Yeah.
So, for a country to cut the whole unemployment to zero, cannot be done.
No, that cannot be done. It cannot be possible.
Mm-hmm. So in any country, there will be some people who are unemployment, who are not in formal employment.
But think also in this way, okay? But think also this way. You have minerals, you know, you have minerals that let's say for your country, okay, you have 100,000 to feed only 3 people, and your fellow, you know, your colleague has also 100,000 to feed 30 people, but you find yourself worse off in the way how you feed your people than the one who's actually feeding 30 people with 100,000. So now you look at Namibia to say, should we not, maybe that everybody should be having a job, but that should be minimized to almost really 0.01 or something like that. Yeah?
The problem that we have in Africa.
Yeah.
Is that we are rich by those minerals that we can mention again in Namibia. We have uranium, we have got the lot of natural resources.
Yeah.
And we have got fish also. Like now, when it comes to minerals, are we getting what we're supposed to get from these minerals?
Exactly. Not at all. Mm.
Not at all, because if you are only offered maybe 5% of the output of the daily output of the minerals,
yeah,
it's not the same as the whole country.
So what you're saying is that actually we don't have what we should have actually to be able to feed ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we lack, because maybe when it comes to our government, there was supposed to be some strategy. Because now we are going to spend 6 years of being independent.
Mm.
How much have we invested in the human capital to make sure that these industries where we lack capacity, like mining?
Yeah.
How much have we invested in our people to be able to be able to explore,
yeah,
to find the gold at Enana.
There's no vision. We have a vision in paper, which is a vision 2030. We did have a vision in paper, but we never really followed, you know, what we have in our vision. You know?
Yes. Because if you go to the oil which is found now in the southern part of Namibia, that side.
Yeah.
Those companies who did that, where are they from?
Of course, Canada, France, British, you know, Britain, you know? They are coming from there.
So we still lack that knowledge in that sector.
Yeah.
But then, and those are the crucial, you know, crucial employment sectors.
But I still have a question. But I still have a question. How did we do it with the beers? You know, where we actually had a 50-50%, you know, equal share in the company, in the resources. How did we do that? You know, and we couldn't do that with our uranium, with other minerals. Why wouldn't we didn't do the same?
When did we get into that agreement? Was it before independence or after independence?
Yeah, no, those I think was that's a good question. That's a very good question. Yeah. So when was that? Is it because the negotiation was done by the previous administration? You know,
administration or the current one?
By the apartheid administration, or by we did we do that after independence or what? Yeah. So that's a good one to find out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that was done by the previous administration of during colonial regime.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one who had that power of negotiation, making sure that at least we get that 50%.
Yeah, no, but that's with the current good to find out. Yeah.
With the current exploration and with the current mining now which is happening in our country, I'm doubting very much that we are going to reach a day we are going to strike even a 20%.
Yeah. Well, the policy said new mining, actually we should have 51%. Whether that is realistic, you know, financially wise, that's another debate. Yeah.
The problem which we have with that, it's not easy for us, you know, to convince them to offer us 50%. Because when it comes to mine, what do we offer them? What do we offer those miners?
It's not even what we offer them, is what do we bring on the table, you know?
What do we bring on the table?
Yeah.
Nothing. Now, if you bring nothing, if you don't have human capacity,
yeah,
whom that company can even employ in that mining industry? It's not easy for us now to win them, or maybe to push them even to 20%.
Yeah, no, it's because
we don't have anything to offer them.
Yeah, you can't just say, these are my resources, so you're going to give me 30% of my resources. No, but she said, I'm spending more to actually getting it out. So...
it's like you make, you're having and we shut that side up for hunger.
Yeah.
A dam of fish. Yeah. And you don't know how to extract those fish from that dam. And you invite me to come that day and come and fish for me here. And I say, okay, from every 50 bags of fish that I'll be catching, I'll only be giving you 5 kg out of it.
Exactly.
And all that 5 kg back.
And you are saying, well, at least I'm getting 5 kg. So, yeah, rather than actually I'm not able to do that myself, it's better than nothing, you know? Yeah. Yeah, that's where we are, man. All right.
You know, I'm enjoying your program, the way how you put those statistics. They are quite interesting, and I need listening to you.
That's good to know. Yeah, great.
Okay, thank you. Let me listen to other inputs also from other callers.
All right, good.
Thank you, bye.
All right, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. Yeah, that's where we find ourselves. Yeah, so three things you must remember from this discussion, okay? Three in four employed Namibians are financially supporting adult family. That's according to this report. And I think he brought up a very angle that sometimes this report... don't pay attention to, or they ignore the impact of that. So the whole issue of the informal, these are informal people who, so we're only looking at the one that are working, but the people that are not working, they could be involved in informal sector, which are not recorded, which are not, the statistics are not there for them, you know? So, yeah, this is a very good point, a very, very good point. Yeah, but let's follow the report. So Namibians are financially supporting adult family members beyond their own children. And this is not a charity. It is a poverty trap, according to some economists. So close to half of Namibians' youth are outside the economy. You know, they are outside of the economy and the education system. So what happened? They become dependent, invisible, and running out of time. You know, they really running out of time. Without urgent intervention, they will remain a burden on working Namibian for decades. So that's the urgency in terms of that. And Namibia is the second most unequal country in the world. Okay? So, and even in the planet, I don't think there are aliens that are that are practicing unequal distribution of real resources. So we are that one, you know. The money exists in this country. It does exist in the country. The problem is that it is not circulating where it's needed most. 3% of our society that are the one that, you know, have a big chunk of the money. Okay? So working hard in Namibia is not enough. Not when the system pushes so many people into the few, you know, onto some few shoulders. Okay? So the solution is not personal finance advice, my dear. The solution is a political will, structural reform, and a meaningful jobs. Really meaningful that make a difference in people's, you know, life. All right? This is Unpacking the Day. So do come through with your reaction, with your contribution. So change is possible. Change is possible, but only if we face the truth where we are. You know, if we only face the truth of where we are, then change is possible. 0833-66-091. So I'm going to now look at some latest Namibian. We're going to look at some talking point, some brief talking point. We're going to look at the latest Namibian poverty, maybe look at inequality, look at the unemployment and cost of living data. So we're going to look at some data just to refresh ourselves, okay? So where we are as we're talking about this, okay? Do stay tuned and do come through as well to share, you know, to react and to contribute. It's our conversation. You know, do come through as well. So, where do you find yourself? Are you one of those, or are you one of those that are actually, you know, sitting and waiting? Are you the one on the list who said, hey, when is your pay coming in, man? We are waiting, okay? We are waiting. Haven't you paid yet? You know, they are the one who asking you first. Haven't you paid yet? Why your payment is always in different days, you know? This year, this time it was on the 28th, now it's on the 30th. Yeah, they become even angry. All right. So do come through 0833-66-091 have your share of the program. All right. We'll be back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yeah, that's right. That's truly right. Our time is about 7 minutes past the hour of nine. Where you find yourself listening through the radio and maybe your cousin, your brother, whoever is in the area where the frequency is not there, tell them, download the Eagle FM app. Okay? Download the Eagle FM app. You tune in sometime. You don't even to tune in actually at the time when we are on live. You can always go back. Well, I want you to participate on the program anyway. So that's why I want you to be tuning in when I am live, when we are live, you know, so that you can be part of the show. All right. So, but if you're listening and you have a cousin or a brother or mother or sister and they have a smartphone, let them download the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and there's so much things. If you want to really be updated with what is going on, whether it's a report or whatever the case, maybe sometime even vacancy there, you know, make sure that you download that. You know, there's so much. Let's look at some key updated statistics, you know, just to see where we are, just to really where we are. Now, let's look at the poverty. Let's start with the poverty. And it's getting worse, not better. No, seriously. And this is something that I think as Namibian, because you survive today, we don't pay much attention. And even when it doesn't matter who now, when the political party come into us and promise us, you know, we kind of like, because we don't get into details of where we are and how far we've gone in terms of the progress in this country, we're getting worse, not better. Okay? The number of Namibia living in poverty has more than doubled in just 6 years. Has more than doubled in just 6 years. Now, the poverty head count, if you're counting individual, like one, you and you and you and you and you and you, tovalulo mitbe, head count in English, tovalulo mitbe kuchove, nave, 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 you know? Search from 410,518 people in 2017, 410, almost half a million, you know, to actually 817 people in 2023. Doubled. A more than 100% increase in an absolute number. It's a 100 increase. 100 increase. Yeah? Okay, math teacher, I'm right. It's 100 increase. More than 100 actually increase. It's not, it's above that, you know? Math teacher, just correct me. Not correct me, I'm actually right. I know I'm right. So you can see that. You can put your heads in the sand, okay, as a politician, and then you can say, no, we're doing very well. We're doing very well. We did this and this. Poverty has gone worse, has become worse, not better. As a share of a population, okay, as a share of a population, poverty has climbed from 19.7% in 2017 to 25.6 in 2020 to 28.2 in 2023. You can see it's just increasing. Now, the World Bank project poverty will remain higher at 27.5 in 2025. With no significant easing, there's nothing that's going to change as there's no change really expected. There's no easing expected. So that's from the World Bank. Now, women and children bear the heaviest burden. The report by the Economic Commission for Africa and the National Planning Commission confirms women contribute to bear the brunt of poverty in Namibia. All right? So, more than 63% of children experience multidimensional poverty, hunger, lack of education, healthcare, and basic service. This is according now to UNICEF Namibia. Okay, 63% of children experience multidimensional poverty. When I say, guys, get to our mobile app. So it's be able to read, you know, to read some of this information, some of these studies, get into the habit of reading, go into the detail really to understand how massive, how severe this is. You know, the funny thing is that when I woke up and I normally have bread, I have something on my table. It's a human tendency to think that everybody does, you know. So what's happening to me, it's and sometimes, as I said, a human tendency, we tend to incline that, you know, the way things are with us is actually the way things with everybody. And this is how the politician thinks, you know. Yeah. So just because, you know, you don't even move to find out how the things happen in Katutura somewhere. So, yeah, let's get to a caller. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Muito obrigado, família. Como é?
Ah, como está, man?
Ah, muito obrigado. Estamos muito obrigado. Estou ali.
Ah, muito obrigado. Tudo bem, muito bem, muito bem, muito bem.
You say that we are not saving anymore because of...
Yeah, we are squeezed. We are actually a sandwich generation.
Yes.
That's how we are called, a sandwich generation. On top are the parents and the aunties. Bottom is, you know, the children and the cousins and, you know.
Yeah. So we are only saved on the older patients.
Exactly.
Now, I was thinking about, because, you know, our... before elections,
yeah,
there was one candidate also wanted to run. I don't know why she went back. Ali Angola.
Yeah, yeah.
He came up with the idea to say, if you vote for me, anybody going to get 500. What? That was 500 a month. Was how much?
A month of what? Of old age or what?
No. If you don't have a job,
yeah,
you'll be paid.
Oh, like what, 700 or 500?
I forgot the amount. How much was it?
Yeah, no, that's possible. Yeah, 700 or 500 around there, yeah.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about, okay, if you are, as you're saying now, something pop in my head is, okay,
yeah.
What if this idea of this lady could come through? So maybe you might say.
Yeah, there are countries doing it. Germany, I think, is doing it. Yeah.
I think Russia, because who was also talking about it, I think the embassy of Russia was talking about how they do and what not and what not. So now I'm thinking about, okay, this might be a good idea for us to say it.
Well, it's not far-fetched, but the question is, do you know how much do we have in the coffer? You know, do you know how much we have in our treasury? You know, you can have a good idea, but you must know how much you have.
Much we have, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's the same thing that many of our political leader promises. They promise heaven and earth, but they don't see what is it. And then they will only come to tell you now when they're bringing the budget. You know, we are cutting this because we don't have enough money, but you were promising us that you're going to give us this.
You see? Yeah.
So this is the problem, you know. Is someone who's talking, he hasn't actually moka andi natala moga.
Yeah.
Ote get up popi mara moka anda. Keshi ku jomu na shike.
But I'm thinking also, you know, by these statistics which are saying like people don't save them because of family. Some of the things are the reality, you know.
Yeah.
You have like two, three, four houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are supporting.
Yeah, no, that's and, true.
Yeah, now I'm thinking about this. These things, maybe the things could work out well. Maybe will save us also, for us to also to save some money, because you don't save anymore. Mm-mm. You know, you have a sister, you have a brother, you have kids, you know.
Yeah.
And the family, if you don't do that, the anger, you, witchcraft is come there like
you know, and even the economist actually said, you know, this is a generational curse. What is the translation in your language? What is the translation? It's otafingwa.
It's true.
Yeah. Otafingwa, you know.
But they need to think about that idea of the lady. maybe can work out. I don't know. Maybe it will be too much. But yes.
No, but you have to think. You have to think it in this way. You know, idea is good, and what we are doing now, when you look at the budget, we are spending. We're putting more money in operational budget. That means paying salaries, making sure that everything is functioning. But we have little money in a developing budget. So what we need to do first is be able to create jobs, be able to, you know, that's what we need to do. We don't just want someone now being handed over money just in terms of operational. We need money that goes into generating job, generating, you know, opportunities for people to work for themselves. That's the direction that we need to go.
Yeah, everything I think is important. To give money, don't give money, you give their job. I think it's important because the money still be staying in the country. Look like, I saw like, which is it okay? You just go in there, you start to get paying per week, you 50 or 100 pounds. Yeah. Without doing anything.
Yeah.
They are doing well.
Yeah, you can't keep addressing short-term, issues. You know, you keep, okay, let's just, you know, address this issue, you know, because we have so many people unemployed. Let's just give them a little bit of this. In the end, that's going to be worse and worse and worse until you cannot be able to start already creating ways that would help people in the future.
Mm.
Even if you're suffering now. Eh?
Yeah. No, I think the ideas are still coming. I think I called too early. I must wait for my colleagues to participate.
All right. No, that's all right. Still, it's okay. All right. Good man. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. We're looking at the poverty. Poverty. It's getting worse, not better. So, and according to the 2024 Global Hunger Index, Namibia ranked 86th out of 121 countries in hunger sovereignty. So classified as serious level. We are classified as serious level. All right. So, yeah.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Mike.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, my brother.
All right. Hope the weekend was good.
Not so bad.
Okay. As long as Shato Fudopo.
To make it worse, when you're having a population of 3.5 million people, and you are topping in the whole planet, why does it tell you?
It's right in black and white. You have a majority of people on one end, you know, receiving little, and then you have a small fraction of
small
people
numbers,
getting so much.
Like a king and queen.
And we don't seem just to do anything. We don't seem just, I think we're just incapable of doing anything. When it comes to inequality, we are just incapable
of doing anything. And to say we are following South Africa is a lie. I think we are on top. We are at the top. We are the top one.
Yeah, I think it was earlier. It was in 2021. I think it could have changed now. You know.
Yeah, it can be changed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And those Africans, I think, billionaires a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Not like even like what we have a millionaire here in Namibia. They are having billionaires and they are having millionaires and you name it.
And our millionaires don't create jobs.
No, my friend, they are flying to Dubai.
Oh.
They are going to Dubai, they are in Washington, they are somewhere in France. That's a millionaire which you create in Namibia. The thing is that when I'm looking at our country, our government, it's like they are even left. They don't feel like it's an emergency when you are having a situation where you are topping the whole planet. Even the DRC, what they are fighting, they are able to share.
They don't feel it's emergency because we, as the citizens, we relax. We're not doing anything.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
No, it's just a matter of time, huh? Because anything can happen. Like now, we remember, wars are over, and then we think the war is far from us. But in Namibia, somebody will just have a millionaire and then say, hey, guys, hey, liberate yourself. It's very easy. Very easy because everybody is having a... They are already fed up.
Yeah.
People... That's why we are living now angry than Libya.
Yeah.
We are topping... We are somewhere in around 5 in that range. Just imagine we are overpassing Iraq and Libya. People are in the war.
Yeah.
And we are unhappy. The thing is that when you look at our situation... The people, I think we make it like a normal. It's just a normal to wake up.
Yeah.
We don't know what is we are going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
We make it just like a normal life. Yeah. But it's always about to be that way.
Mm.
Because remember one thing that in our country, my friend, we don't mean to have to think about like how we are going to distribute it.
Yeah.
Even like a fund, whatever. No! Go to the, let us buy a boat which can catch it, a fish, and this fish can come to the people. Not like the way we are doing it with fish consumption.
Yeah.
No, fish consumption is only, even the mass market are expensive. This is, who's going to afford it? Let us have something really where people can be able to enjoy it, like what Angolans are enjoying their oil. We can say Angolans are poor, but it's different.
Yeah.
Angola enjoying it. They are enjoying oil. What in Namibia? What are we getting apart from the ID? And the ID even now to make ID even like this 7-1, you have to pay.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere across to 100 or something. There.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's no more free. Yeah. Yeah. What else? What else? As a Namibian, I cannot pay. I have to pay my passport. Yeah.
You pay.
But in other country, there are people who are getting for free.
Mm.
Yeah, now we are paying even the ID for 100 to get a new one. What is this now? Yeah? What else? Namibia can be proud that, yes, we are enjoying just a freedom of speech.
Yeah, you have a freedom of speech.
That's
all. Which is still important. But the question is, when it come, like I was talking about these two extreme ends. Now, who decide actually that this is a competitive salary for someone to get $100,000 a month while you have, you know, who decide that? You know, how do we come to that level when if every month when you look at the output of the person who is get that money, you don't see it.
Nothing.
So now I can see them only driving expensive cars, you know, sleeping at, you know, expensive hotels and eating nice food.
But I don't see
the outcome of what they do. To deserve that amount of money. I wouldn't mind a person getting that money and I say, wow, you know, yes, there is service delivery. Our people are well, you know, I was talking about poverty now.
Michael, look, recently, I think the board member of Road Fund, they get what? iPad.
Yeah.
Paid 103 something, but they are just 20 or something. What? And now we're wondering, if it is both always are damaging our car, and this guy, they are here taking care of.
Our priorities are so screwed. Our priorities are so screwed.
It's what I'm telling you with that. No, in Namibia, serious that we have a leadership crisis.
Yeah.
In all levels, because otherwise you cannot tell me, you cannot fire this person to think of
Yeah. Buying iPad, will you? You know, people are complaining about the iPad.
You're right. I read an article that actually saying exactly this. It's not about resources. It's actually a leadership crisis in Africa. In Africa, it's a leadership crisis, not resources. Yeah.
It's what I'm telling you, that you can turn this country around. Just giving millions of people fish for cheap price.
Yeah.
We don't even enjoy anything. Even our fish is expensive. You talk about meat, which you are producing, meat is out of roof. 1 kg is costing you what?
Yeah.
80 or 70, that's somewhere there. Just imagine. But you, we are saying we are the producing nation of where we are the best when it comes to beef. But how? Look, the thing is that when you are talking about unequal society, it's because there are few people are benefiting.
Yeah.
And the majority are swimming in the poverty of poor. Look, you cannot tell me for how long we've been here, we are complaining about even Kambashu burning every day. But nobody's done nothing. Now I hear that there are some group they come up with what? Housing for 50,000, which are cheap to build for 2 days or 3 days, which is a good thing. But how many people are... Did you see a lot of leader even making noise about it? No, only president will talk about it.
Yeah.
Everybody's quiet. Even opposition, they are not even saying, yes, this is a good idea. Let us go for it.
Yeah, man. And you remember, one thing I have realized is that actually, much of the election campaign has become actually job interview for many of the politicians.
Very much.
It's a job interview, you know. They make noise as much as they want, and we get excited. We vote for them. They get in the parliament. Some of them, you don't even hear them at all anymore. They collect their perk, you know, and that's it.
That's it. They don't even contribute anything anymore.
They don't even contribute anything. Yeah.
Nothing. They somewhere end up even sleeping now these days.
You see?
That's amazing.
It's an election campaign, you know. I mean, it's an interview for them, you know.
It is
for a
that's
job.
That's why some of them they come up with a ridiculous thing that no, when you vote me, I'm going to do this. But in the reality, they never check how our country is doing. Even the budget that they know, this budget they cannot.
Yeah, that's what I was saying
to
I was saying to the previous caller that there was a lady who said those people are not working, were supposed to be given certain amount of money, and I said, well, it's a good idea, but the person who said that should know how much we have in our budget, how much our budgets are, and where does our budget go. Yeah.
It is doable because if you look, we have social security money inside there. We have JPF money right there. But if you take that money to invest in things where they can create a job, then people are able to pay more taxes.
Yeah.
If they're able to do it, the people are able to do it. But if you are having money which are right there, but you are crying, you find employment.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, you want to tell me are you using your common sense?
Yeah.
No. Because now we're having money which is right there. Then you are here crying for unemployment. Remember one thing you guys when you started, you say what? People who are working are more what? Depending on their... No, it's even... I think this is what? Because only the research is only done one side.
Yeah.
People who are more even providing for their families are formal.
Informal sector.
We are talking about even the people who are selling cake, fat cake, Kapana, you talk about even taxi drivers, you talk about this, a lot. Those people who are doing it right, they are more supporting. Because even at the end of the day when you're having like a emergency, like a funeral, I mean somebody person, just imagine how much a person is saying, well, who's working even, a soldier or a police?
Yeah.
Saying, I'm only having 1,000. What if that 1,000 is going to contribute towards the funeral arrangement? Or, that's why this red kick lenders, he know once he mess up with stock, then he's not going to get any money away because nobody's lending him what a loan. But the police can drink up his salary, he know the service there for him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why these people are careful with money. You know, if you mess up, who's going to buy your tire of your car?
Yeah.
Yeah. All that's right, why man. We are
they are more careful with money.
Yeah.
That's why when it comes to families, that's why you find these people, even like when you used to contribute even for legislation for the kids.
Mm.
You see, this person is picking up like I have got 2,000 guys. Well, how much you have? And this person will come with what? Who's working? Will tell you I have only 500. Just imagine. And they can even see his or her sibling.
Yeah.
That's the problem we have. But seriously, I think it's time. But I at least this current government, they are doing something.
Yeah.
Like where even the catering for what? Up to 45 to do business.
All right.
To come up with youth funding, yeah. Which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, yeah.
Yeah, and we will need more of those innovation to take people out of poverty.
Mm-hmm.
We need it. And oh. Anyway, Mike, okay, let us give the people a chance.
Great, man. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
All right. All right. Yeah, that's as I said, you know, And we need to look at, even within our political party, we need to really look at, if we want to change the future of these countries, we need even to look at the people we have within our own political party, you know, who are taking our positions. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
Are you also the sandwich in a sandwich generation?
Yeah, no, that's a part of life.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we are living. If you don't know how to play soccer, you cannot be a part of it. that is how we are not enjoying because we are lack of understanding.
Yeah.
What is really... How to creating jobs and how to keeping people busy, what type of activity that is needing to be boosting and all of that.
But you know one thing, if sometimes we just don't want to actually face the truth is that we have a number of people sitting, say for example, in a parliament who are making law, who have no idea, you know, of many aspect on the level where they understand how would this become effective. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes. No, I understand. I fully understand that. Yes,
I'm making decision on economic issues that I have no clue of. You understand?
Yeah. Even if you look at just the four ministers, how now they are suffering.
Yeah.
Those are the things that they will not know what they are doing.
Mm.
They will not know how to saving for you to be surviving in those pension or senior age. How can be surviving on that?
Yeah.
So those are the issues that if you're locating those 1.8 million people where they, those four are five, or six regions, at the five or seven.
Seven.
Those Zambezi, yeah. West and East, Kabango and Kunene,
yeah.
Before those ones.
Yeah.
If you look at, they don't have any source of activity that can bring income on that area. Most of the jobs, they are imported.
Yeah.
And they are not even taking up 20%. If you go to a Nana there, you're finding maybe they are just employed. Some of those workers, they are coming with the jobs. So when ShopRite come, he come with his own people.
With his own people, exactly.
Yeah. So those are now the things that, as you are a governor, what are you thinking? How do you comparing with other regions? Like if you go to Nigeria and see the region they are competing, which region is wealthy?
Mm.
Yeah, because of that. Because like in Okavango region, you cannot compare, talking about the timber, because if you're cutting timber, it's taking about 20 to 30 years into getting another timber.
Mm.
But you need to come up with something that can boost, that can keep those people busy. As I said, if they could be adding value to those farming activities, they can make money.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But not to give land to people to go and putting up a mango field where it's not surviving. not even 10% of his householding are getting from Mahangu.
Yeah.
But you are wasting the land to locating to those people, and you are telling us that, no, we are doing good. That's not good. That's wasting, because at the end of the day, the century, you're finding there is no landing to do a business, agriculture activity that can be benefiting everybody.
Yeah. Most of the time, when you look at these statistics, you go into this as you're analyzing it, because you need to bring something to this problem like that. And you kind of like, do our, you know, lawmakers or politicians sit and really look at these data? Because if you have to make, because sometimes you kind of like, people make laws or make or priorities based on, not really on statistic, based on, not on evidence, but on maybe ambitions.
Yeah, but the issue here, if you wanted to know how to do a research, you have to look at Salon de Dieu first.
Yeah.
How many people do I know? 10 of them on your, on 10 fingers. How many people does I know? They are having income, but not surviving on it.
Mm.
That is where you're starting to understanding that, oh, the data that I'm analyzing is not the one that is making sense.
Yeah.
So as I said now, if you look at these governors that are appointed by the president, some they are young. But if you're asking a governor for Kunene region, even for example, to say what type of jobs that does you wanting those people to be involved,
yeah,
he will not telling you anything. He doesn't wanting those people to go to school, for example, because if they are starting to open up with school issues, they might end up creating more poverty.
Yeah.
To them, because who are going to funding those? Because their caterer are not doing anything. But if you could be somebody else that can do better, you're bringing up even a feedlot to that area, or a farm that can produce those food for the cattle, so that it can be creating more jobs. That is only an example I'm giving.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you are now coming up with something like, for example, if you look at those 7 regions that are giving you example. Bring up factories that they can even keep those people busy to packaging things, to do most of those things. That is how you boost in the region, not to depending on the government. But you are coming up with something that can bring up social development.
But why are we keep saying the same? I mean, this is not just about this administration, this 8th administration. We're coming long way about factories, you know, value addition. And sometimes when you listen to politicians talking today, it's like something nowadays, an urgency about value addition. But this has been always there, you know, in all our planning. So, but why can't we do it?
No, the problem is they are not a part of the resources. That is the failure of them. They are not a part of the resources. You cannot demand something that is not yours. The gold that you are getting by B2 gold is not a part of the government.
Yeah.
It's a part of the private.
Yeah. So then your rhetoric is nonsense.
Yeah. That is what I'm saying. That is what you need to do. How do I get in a hand of this and make it work to my people?
Yeah.
It's like who was saying we are not even eating fish. No. Fish we're supposed to eat because we have a fish coop that we're supposed to buy and sell to the Namibians.
Yeah,
because he buying fishing from those vessels, those companies that they are doing fishing, and sell it to the Namibian. But you do what? You do corruption in that day, because people are buying, instead of selling to household, you are selling to the reseller.
Yeah,
and the fishing become expensive now. Those are the problems that I'm saying. This is not something that you can blaming the government. This is we are blaming the leaders here.
Yeah.
Because the police are good to do things, but at the end of the day, they don't consider, they don't think about it. And this parliamentarian members, or how do we call them, their brain is water. There is nothing, even this Jopa who are telling us that he was a professor. He doesn't come up with something that can boost the youth.
Mm.
And you are telling me that you want him to change the country. You're not changing the country in that way.
Yeah.
That is what I'm saying. When I was leading to SACCO, I saw it that, no, this was a beautiful thing. That's why the government were not wanted to get rid of it. But we are not benefiting because we don't understand it. We don't read about it.
Yeah.
So those are the problems I'm saying. We need to think about the region before we think about the central government. Think about the region. What are you bringing into the region?
Yeah.
Those are the things that you, how do you importing or creating factories in that area that can importing the product back to where it's needed? Not to allowing people to flog into Windhoek so that they can come and depending to and this is sort of telling us that you wanted to giving everybody $100.
Mm.
Who do you think people will start going to job if we could have that money?
Mm.
Do you think people wanting to sleep with shoes as a security guard?
Yeah.
no, man. Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. But they're just young ones.
Yeah.
Like the governor of Oangwena, she's very young.
Yeah.
She has been in talking to those young ones. So she must come up with something serious into that area. Mm. And these others, like Irimali, who was the Oshana region, what have he done? If you call him today and ask him that, Mr. Irimali, you are now out of that job. What experience have you seen that were supposed to be boosting those your region or
The other thing is the consistency. Like, there should be some kind of consistency in terms of a project implementation. If it was not implemented, then someone who comes on, the region should have its own agenda, no matter who comes in. You know, whether you are from a different political party, when you come into the region, you find that the region has an agenda of development. You know.
Yes. So that is what I'm saying. Don't look at the central government. No, central government is something different.
Yeah.
Look at where your office. What is the adding value instead of just reporting what the president wants to hear?
Mm.
No. Those are, I don't understand this. But if you look at even the tribes of Nigerian tribes, from the region, I'm telling you, Mr. Mike, you will surprise him that those people, they are creating jobs themselves.
Yeah.
But in some countries, even the Angolans that you are talking about, most of them, they are doing household garden to get their own food. Even in Zambia, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
But here, you are talking about Mahangu, that people are not surviving in Mahangu. How do you, seriously, you go addressing the people, you tell them that, no, this model is no more working, guys. Man. Tell them the truth. Please, when the rain came, changing your thing that can even giving you $30,000 that you can survive out of it because you have a field, you have a land to do that.
Yeah.
But as I said, cattle farming, it can be better because every month you slaughter one, you're making income.
Yeah.
But how can you do this? It's when you have a gathering land.
Mm.
So that we don't have now in Namibia. But those traditional Okwanyama traditional authorities, they have land. I don't know about Ondonga, but that area of Ombuga is also one of the goodest things.
Yeah.
Don't privatize things, please. Let the people doing there and come up with a feedlot. Understanding, making people understanding that no, this cattle needs to be vaccinated. Come a group, you're buying those medicine, government will providing you a doctor that can do those things, testing those things. And then until the people starting to sell this meat for cheap. Namibia is a good country because the money are circulating each and every day.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But we are not, we are not boosting our people.
Yeah.
We are not encouraging our people. You are not guiding people to the right, to the modern world. How do you can survive in this modern world? We're just blaming something, leading about other countries. China, India in 2008 was in big mess. There was no job in India.
Yeah.
But if you go today, you see all the regions getting factories.
And that's the trajectory that we want to see. Even if it's very slow, We want to see that trajectory. I was just giving an example here. Poverty has become worse than actually better. You know?
No, that is what now they are talking about, the processing food. Putting this processing in Zambezi region, the whole processing of fruits, just put it in Zambezi region.
Yeah.
You will see people starting making dozy mangoes from Etunda to Zambezi region.
Yeah.
And you're creating jobs there, and then you're making another one that is now in the in Omsati region.
Yeah.
And another one, you put it in those areas because there are a lot of people. I'm not talking about Erongo, there is not a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Because they went there as an immigrant. But if they hear that their region now having more job opportunities, they will go back. And we're starting now to develop because people are now choosing according to the experience where I want to live. Because there is a job everywhere. And that is what happened to India. China was also the same, 1996. When they applying for the WHO to come and participate in the world trading, they were having poverty everywhere. But they invited the foreigners, companies, to come and do the labor in China.
Yeah.
Today, China, every region, every what? Factory. So those are the things that I'm talking about to say, no, I don't want this governor that you are talking about. They are nothing.
Yeah. All right.
Mike.
No, thanks for coming, Tria.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right, 0833-66-091. We still have a couple of minutes, 11 actually, for that matter. Yeah, for you to come through as well, you know? Yeah. All right, so, yeah, now, I was talking about the looking at some statistics in terms of the number of poor Namibians, as the talking point is that the number of poor Namibians has literally doubled in 6 years. So not slightly increased, doubled, you know, and from around 410,000 to over 852,000 people. That is not a trend. Eh? That is not a trend. That is an emergency. Seriously, that is an emergency. All right. So, and so what else? Yeah, let's get to the caller quickly. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me? Oh, you're killing me. You're killing me when you do that. Okay, you may come back again. So, and with unemployment, just to remind you a little bit, more than one in three working age Namibian cannot find a job. All right? Cannot find a job. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Good morning, amigo.
How are you, man?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
When we listen to the statistics of Namibia and how they are getting and they share economic resources.
Yeah.
Really, it's wonderful when people are saying you are better, or sometimes people are talking what they are not doing.
Mm.
Here people see politicians, what Namibia is doing good, in every what's on like that. But really, the office, very important office, we see in the office of the president, like this is, National Planning Commission, or National Statistic Agency,
yeah.
in the office of the president.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in the office of the president. It means everything there is in their eyes, or ears, and they could even see. But they are doing nothing.
Yeah.
What are they busy with?
Yeah, no. As we say, look, sometimes politician playing politics. You understand? So, and sometimes, as I said, some politician actually talk without really looking into the coffer. You know, what do we have into the coffer? So until when it comes down, when you are doing budget, is when you now, how much money do I really have? You know, but you have made already so many, you have made promises that this is what we're going to do. This is what, you know. So, yeah, let's be realistic. Let's know where we are and then start planning from where we are. I think we will be able to understand that better than just when you're promising us this is what we're going to do. And sometimes it's unrealistic completely when you look at the budget.
Well, I don't understand. Why is it possible really the person to lie for it, to lie himself? Or you can even steal yourself things which you are saving and you steal it for yourself.
Well, we do lie in the interview. You know, that's what I'm saying. My boss used to say this is an interview. That's a campaign, you know, election campaigns are interview. So, and you lie in the interview. When somebody asking you, you know, you try to come up with some marketing gimmick that help you to make look good. That's exactly what it is. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, it's for you and I, understanding this, and then when our counselor is telling us, yeah, we will be building road and what, and you ask, you know, how long that road has taken for it to actually be done? It has taken 5 years now. Eh? It was budgeted in 2020-2021, but up to now that road hasn't been finished.
Things are taking long in the plan. Mm. That's they are planned and for many years nothing has been done. And the people now the job and any done job is firing up and then it's just like that and then we next election we come and the campaign tell people lies and like that and the people say, requesting appreciation by saying, oh, are you not clapping your hand? What's on like that? You are demanding. Why are you not clapping your hand? And then when it comes to Karakatika, zero. Really, these people, I don't know where we could end up with this very small population, with very high
unemployment, and you know,
unemployment, the poverty, and also expensive of living of standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, what are we really want to achieve?
Yeah.
What do you want to achieve?
We can change that. It can be changed. It can be changed. We have policies that can be able to do that. But the problem is that we have people that are not competent to do that seriously, and this it just doesn't fall on the president only. You know, you come into a government that have a system that is broken. You know, it requires really reforming that, and sometimes it's painful. It become painful, but we don't want to go the painful way where we know that our colleague will, you know, we will be, it will involve firing some people. Sometimes we don't want to do that and we let things go the way it is.
Eh? Yeah, when I heard you see that when we said it is a broken society, they said, no, it's not a broken society. Yeah. Because you don't listen to your people. You don't see how the people at the ground. We said people should be, go out of the office and see, look at yourself just there. As you were campaigning.
Mm.
But when it comes to campaign, if you are there among the what this informal settlement, you are there when it is election finished, no more.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
And that's up to you and me now. And this is what we're doing here. That's up to you for now to understand the issues, to understand and be able to hold them accountable that this is what you say you will be doing. So we let it up them. We just let it up them, have the honey, you know, enjoy their own life, you know, get into the parliament, enjoy their own life. And that's it. While you're still sitting there waiting, you know, it's about time that we say, we make them sit down and say, look, this is what you promised us. But you don't even do that when you don't know what you are being promised.
Yeah, you see the problem. When they finish, they know what you are doing. No, you cannot satisfy all. You satisfy, but the number you satisfy is so very small.
Exactly.
No matter you said you cannot satisfy all.
Yeah.
The number you satisfy, it's very, very small. Mm. Let me say if it's 3% out of that, what's on like that. It's very small.
Yeah. It's just that the input, it doesn't correspond to the output, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's where we need to question.
I don't know. Well, maybe you see always you having what the voters education. I don't know where are they educating? They are just educating the cross. Where you put the cross?
Yeah.
They're not educating
the more you are ignorant, the more you are easy to control. You know.
Yeah. The problem is our ignorance is what people are doing. You must follow up and what the leader doing to us.
Yeah.
You see, they are not doing well. Just starting from your counselors there.
Exactly.
Counselor is just coming into constituency. for the whole 5 years, you never even meeting with, doing the meeting with the community. Even at the village, if you ask him,
yeah,
how many villages in your constituency?
Yeah.
He said, no, let me maybe go to the office. Oh, go to the office, what? It's your constituency.
Yeah.
Yes, I will try. I don't know. Now I will talk. Maybe I will go to the book, what's on.
Yeah.
He don't know, or he don't know how many villages in his city. Even he asked the village gentleman, how many villages
he even, he doesn't even know how many population in his constituency. How do you, plan?
He don't know even, he don't know.
How do you plan when you don't even how many population in your constituency?
How could you plan something which you don't have an idea about? You don't have an idea. You don't know the number. You don't know. You are there in the office doing what?
Yeah.
That what really, I don't know. You are just there for a salary collecting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you letting me.
Where are you calling? Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Erongo.
Erongo.
Yes.
All right. Good. Good to have you on the show. All right. Mm. Very good. What is the time? Ooh, it's 9 o'clock. No, it's 10 o'clock. It's only 1 minute before. All right, guys. It's a very, 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 some of this of statistics are very revealing. We really don't pay attention to numbers. I always tell you guys, I love numbers because, they always have, you know, they tell the truth. They don't lie. They tell the truth. You only have 1 minute. Just say it.
Yes. Yes, I know, my brother. I know. You know me.
Yeah.
Tomorrow when you come, check for us that, you know, our player, the ladies who won the Kosafa Cup.
Yeah.
How much did each anyone got? We want you to know that. Because, you know, they, when we start, because if you don't pay them well,
yeah,
don't forget for them to win for next time. And
yeah,
countries they are behind, they are still because they put money on them. Now we want to know how much in each one got from this. Please, my brother.
Yeah, let's see if I can get that. All right.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Great.
Thanks.
All right, my dear people, my dear friends, my dear listeners. Well, that brings us to the very end of this show. And thanks for those who participated, those who contributed. Good discussion, really good point. Yeah, there are those who are listening. And hopefully some of the things that you said, you know, hit at heart. And those who are in position of influence can be able to influence decisions, or can make influence change. So, but you can only do what you do. You know, you can influence as well by coming through and talk about it. Talk what is happening into your community, what is happening in your community. You know, how you are being affected by the decision that are made. You know, so that's the most important. And that's why you have a platform like this. That's why you have another parliament like this. Make sure that you come to the house every morning from 8 to 10 o'clock. And then this is the time we say goodbye for now until tomorrow again. Let's do this again at the same time, you know, and the same frequency here on Eagle FM. So from me, Mike, I'm going to leave you in the hands of Tate France, you know, Kamativati Kokapofi, Kakuchivati Kaya, Kamati Kokapofi, you know, Mbarangaja. Equally, coming up with a very important topic as always. So make sure that you join him. And for me, let's do this again tomorrow. It's a goodbye.